The cruelty seems to be a matter of official government policy. Let me give you some examples, and I ask you, when I tell you these examples, try and fit this against your understanding of Australian values, the society which Howard recently spoke of in Adelaide in his famous speech, where he yearned for a fair and decent society. Let's measure his contribution to that. In October 2001, a number of people escaped from Woomera during the disturbances there. They were charged with escaping from immigration detention. We ran the defence that conditions in detention were so cruel and inhumane that it could not be valid, legal, constitutionally valid immigration detention. And therefore what they escaped from was some different condition, not immigration detention. The matter went to the High Court in November last year. And on the 12th and 13th of November last year in the High Court of Australia, the Australian government solemnly argued that no matter how inhumane the conditions in detention, it was nevertheless valid and lawful and the courts could not do anything about it. At the same time, they dealt with a parallel case of a stateless Palestinian, Mr. Al-Khafaji. Mr. Al-Khafaji had come to Australia seeking asylum, but he'd been refused a visa, and so he signed a form saying, please remove me from the country. He couldn't bear it in Woomera any longer. Now, you remember the Migration Act says that you must remain in detention until you either get a visa or you're removed from the country. So he asked to be removed from the country. Nothing happened. Why? He's a stateless Palestinian. There is nowhere on earth he's allowed to be, and there was no country on earth willing to take him. And so the question was, what could be done with a person in this unforeseen circumstance? The obvious thing to do, the decent and fair thing to do, would be to amend the Act so as to get rid of an obvious anomaly. What your government did, in fact, was to argue in the High Court of Australia on the 12th and 13th of November last year that in those circumstances they can keep that innocent man in detention for the rest of his life. We don't know what the High Court is going to decide, and for present purposes it hardly matters. Because what really is important is that the government was prepared to argue for the right to hold an innocent person in detention for the rest of his life in the most inhumane conditions imaginable on their own arguments. There's a man who'd come from Iran almost 3 years ago with his daughter. He was locked up in Curtin first and then in Baxter. And he and his daughter, 7 years old, last July, were in their room in the family-friendly detention centre in Baxter on the 14th of July when three ACM guards came into their room and they ordered him to strip. Why? Because he, although innocent of any offence, was thought to have a cigarette lighter. Now, if you followed what happened in Abu Ghraib prison, you know exactly how appalling it is for a Muslim man to be naked in front of other people. But apart from that, his daughter was in the room, and so he refused to strip. They beat him up, handcuffed him, and took him to the management unit. Let me tell you about the management unit in Baxter. I think there was a photograph of one of the cells in the management unit in some of the newspapers last week. They give you no real idea of what it's about. The management unit at Baxter is a series of 13 solitary confinement cells. The cells are 3 metres square. They're made of bare concrete walls. The only furniture at all is a mattress on the floor. The occupant of the cell has got nothing to read, nothing to write with, no television, no radio, no distractions of any sort, no company, and no privacy because he's video monitored 24 hours a day. There is an opening in the opposite wall that leads into a tiny bathroom, but the camera is positioned so that it can see into the bathroom. The room is lit 24 hours a day. The video monitor also records, and you can watch a playback of the tapes if you're able to get your hands on one. And what you see is like a caged animal, because he sleeps for a while and then he sits up, grooms his beard obsessively, and then rocks back and forward for a couple of hours, and then he paces around the room, goes to the bathroom, comes back, sleeps, sits up, rocks for a while, couple of hours, paces around the room, and so on and on it goes. 23 and a half hours a day. For half an hour a day or less, they're allowed into a small exercise area, open to the sky. No view of anything, but it's open to the sky. And for Amin, from the 14th of July, his only respite in this 24 hours of misery and boredom every day. I mean, this is bordering on total sensory deprivation, not to mention the effect on your sleep of being in a lit room 24 hours a day. His only respite was a visit from his daughter. But on the 23rd of July, after he'd been there 9 days, she didn't come for her visit, and he complained and asked what was going on. He was told that the manager of the centre had taken her to Port Augusta shopping. They assured him that she would come for her visit the following day, but she didn't. And at the end of the day, on the 24th of July last year, in Australia, Greg Wallace, the Demia manager of the Baxter Detention Centre, came and explained to Amin that his daughter was now back in Tehran. They'd taken her out of the country under cover of a lie without giving her father a chance to say goodbye to her. There's family values for you. Amin fell apart and remained in detention, in solitary confinement, for another 8 weeks. When we learned about this and brought a case to court asking for his release from solitary confinement, with psychiatrists saying that it was destroying him, the government simply said the court doesn't have the power to order his release from solitary confinement. They didn't contradict the facts. They've never contradicted the facts. They just say the courts don't have any role to play in the way people are treated in detention. The judge disagreed and ordered that he be released from solitary and moved to a different detention centre. And the government, with your tax money, appealed against that order. And last, the 5th of March this year, they paid for senior counsel to be flown from Sydney to Adelaide to argue solemnly that they could throw him back into solitary whenever they wanted to and that the court should keep out of it. That's Australia's family values at the moment.